Welcome back, everyone. This is The Insider. And I have a very special guest this week, Rocco, which you've heard me interview him once before. And it was such a positive show that everybody liked. We got lots of positive feedback on that. And so I brought Rocco back. I wanted to talk a little bit more about some new things that we've been seeing in the U.S. and in Canada and around the world. So welcome back to the show, Rocco.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm glad to have you back here. Heard nothing but positive feedback from your interview the last time.
That's
so
good.
It's good to have you back. And everybody wants to hear what you have to say. What are your thoughts about, do you want to start in the U.S. or in Canada?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
We're in the same mess both ways.
Same mess both ways is true. All right, let's talk about the U.S. I mean, the U.S. is so exciting. So what are your thoughts about, for example, this week, McConnell is not going to come back as
There's a lot of interesting things happening, you know. We had the primaries.
Yeah,
they had the primaries in South Carolina.
Right, correct.
Had the primaries in Michigan, and everybody was expecting Nikki Haley to drop, but
she's not going to drop. She said she's not going to drop. Yeah, she said she's not.
But then,
I mean, she lost her own state.
She lost
almost
her own
by double, you know, by more than 20 points.
Right.
Come on, she should have dropped out. Like that's a slap on the face. You lose your own state of South Carolina. You were the governor. Come on, but. She's if people are funding her campaign,
but then today she was out there at some press conference and she was saying how she wanted all the legal cases to proceed faster,
right? Because she
that just shows
she's the last
like,
person standing.
So that's what we talked about last time, that you know, like, why isn't she going?
Yeah.
It's because maybe, you know, Trump gets like, that's what she would think as the best case. Trump is in jail, and then she gets the automatic nomination.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Do you think she's going to get an automatic nomination? Trump has so many delegates. I mean, basically,
so I'm
Super
not sure
Tuesday,
how the system works. Like, with the, like, for example, like, let's say after Super Tuesday and Trump
and he wins,
and
see, he gets
and,
enough
and
delegates.
He's got like enough. So the maths doesn't work out for Nikki Haley.
Correct.
Even
now,
from
even
now.
If he was in jail. He has
but
enough.
Can you stop somebody in jail from not contesting the elections? Like, is there something in the Constitution?
No. So he could be in jail.
Right.
He could be in jail. Mm-hmm. He could be charged. He could be convicted. He could go to jail. He could still be on the ballot.
So he could still be on the ballot.
Correct.
And there's no way anybody can stop him except some local judges, let's say Illinois or now Denver.
Well, but
in Maine, and they're trying to put him off the ballot.
But the Supreme Court is going to
decide. But
the
Supreme Court is going to decide on that.
And once they decide, depending on their decision, depending on how it's written, can shut everybody up.
So I was reading that judge who just passed the most recent judgment against him.
Yeah.
He's actually a traffic judge.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, he's the one who actually presides over like traffic tickets and stuff, violations, you know. I mean, it's just, it's a travesty.
It's a kangaroo court.
Yeah. Like the more people know about it, like there was somebody who was posting on my, like there was something on Instagram and I just replied back to the Trump's case where he has to pay $465 million.
Yes. Yeah.
And this gentleman was very agitated against me and he was in caps lock and shouting like, oh, he's a criminal, is this? I'm like, okay. So as even Kevin O'Leary came out and described, that Kevin O'Leary is a developer. So he was explaining to people how the development works.
Yes.
So like I have built houses. I have actually gone and taken construction loans.
Yes.
But the bank doesn't listen to me.
I can go there. They have an appraiser.
I can go there and say whatever I want to say.
Yeah.
You know, and I want the most money. So I will tell them, okay, my house is worth like so much and I need so much for construction.
Correct.
They are not going to give me money based on what I say. They will bring, they have their own team.
They have their own team
their
of
own
appraisers.
Team comes in of appraisers.
Yes.
They do their own due diligence.
Yes.
They set the terms. And then once they're satisfied, they will come up with an amount.
Correct.
And then you take the loan, you do your project, you pay them off, and everything is good. And that's how development works all around the world.
Correct.
So I don't understand what this case is, except like it's just openly trying to take out your opposition from not even being in the race. So
well, they took a very old statute that has never been enforced before, where they basically can say that the person or the business has committed fraud without any fraud being found, without any victims. And it's where the bankers, the people that supposedly could have been defrauded, the bankers and the insurance companies came out to Trump's defense and said he paid back the loans, he paid the insurance premiums. There were no losses.
Okay, so here I'll just push back over there, because a lot of people, when they hear this, they come out and say that Trump got preferential loans because of his standing, because of his influence or arm twisting, which a normal commoner like you and me would not be able to get.
Fine.
Or is that true? Like, how do you address it? But in a way, I'm also going to give my answer to this, which I think is that if you're a banker and you have a creditworthy client who you comes up for a loan, which is a multi-million dollars,
yeah,
and they know that you are good on your word or your agreement and you will pay back, they entertain such stall development. And we see that even in downtown Toronto, like, you know, if Daniel goes in and takes a loan for a project, I'm sure they will treat them better than me setting up a XYZ corporation and I want to set up like two units for housing. Like, you know, so
there's no way.
So there is no comparison. Like,
so, you know, I'll give you an example, and it's from Trump's own words back in the 90s when he was going through corporate bankruptcies and restructuring, et cetera, because of the casinos and the developments and the whole.
But you know what happened in the early 90s?
Yeah, like, no, the whole economy. The whole economy
was
went upside down. We understand. Yeah. So he went and he said, okay, you know, that they put him on a $400,000 a month limit for his personal expenses and whatnot. He went from bank to bank to bank and he renegotiated the loans and basically said to them, look, you could foreclose on all these properties, but the only one who's going to be able to pay you back is me, Donald Trump, because of the name Trump. I'm the one who's able to bring back the business. And then many of them realized it's true. If we could take it back, we're getting back pennies on the dollar. But if we at least give this guy a lifeline, and because of his name Trump, he's probably going to be able to pay us back. Let's give him a chance to pay us back or pay most of it back. And that's what happened. So did he get a preferential treatment? Perhaps he did get preferential treatment.
Perhaps he did. But
that's normal.
But that comes with your name and stuff.
Like, absolutely.
So it's the same thing like Warren Buffett going out in 2008 and giving money to Goldman Sachs and buying their stock at $5 and getting warrants on the stock.
There you go.
Whereas you or me would never have gotten that deal.
Absolutely. Yeah,
okay, we would not get that same deal that Warren Buffett got because of his name. So,
absolutely.
So it's the same thing. Like, you know, if you're there in the business, you get preferential treatment. Yeah. I mean, people should not be surprised about it.
Correct.
So I don't know why people, but the main
because
point
people
is
are trying to pick,
but
people are getting offended for the sake of being offended.
Right. But the main point I think is like, if in criminal law, if you have done something to offend a party, there's an aggrieved party, that's where you would start litigation. There is no aggrieved party. Even the person
there's who, no aggrieved party. There's no victim.
There is no victim.
Yeah.
And the bank that has given the loan has also testified in his favor. So how does that affect everybody else? People are, it's only Trump now, but this could affect anybody, because once a precedent is set, they can come after anybody.
This is the concern.
That is the concern. What I would have.
That conservative-minded developers in New York State are now getting very, very nervous that if the prosecution wants to go after them because they're conservatives, can go after them without any cause of actual fraud, can go after them just to bankrupt them.
Right. And also the other precedent that changed was the Jean Carroll's thing, where she comes back like 25 years later.
Oh my goodness.
With no witnesses, nothing.
Nothing.
And then she
kept changing her story.
And then you can get a judgment. And if you speak out against that judgment, then you can get slapped with another fine. So it's just a way of like muzzling your voice, which is similar to what I see what happened in Canada this week when they said, the bill C-63, they want to pass.
Right.
You know, so this is, again, about like supposedly a anti-hate bill.
But it's silencing free speech.
But it's silencing free speech.
And by the way, people may not know this, but Ireland is doing the exact same thing. And all political parties are on board with that.
I think it's shocking. Yeah, so
it's
don't understand what's going on in Ireland.
So this shows, like, this has to be a wake-up call to people that there is a globalist
100%
puppet masters out there that pull the strings from all these countries, from all these leaders around the world, and are telling them what to do. And these idiots that we have elected and put in charge, there's dirt on them. They're probably being blackmailed, or they're communist at their core. They're socialists.
I believe.
It's
think
one of the two.
It's either or both. Like, you know, they could be compromised.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason you would go and do everything that what we see. Like, for example, the same policies, open borders for illegal immigration now they changed the name to like
migrants
yeah. and all this stuff yeah. because we don't want to hurt feelings. But anyways, the thing is, same thing has been happening in Europe. Same thing is happening yes. in UK.
Yes.
Same thing is happening in Ireland.
Yes.
Same thing is happening has been happening in Canada.
Yes,
it's happening in US. So it's not just an isolated incident. They're all connected and they're all happening in conjunction with each other. So it's people need to just sit back and realize, like, you can hate Trump for all you want, or you can like Biden for all you want, or you can like Trudeau. It does not matter. But if you just sit back and just analyze and just think, like, all these things are happening, what are the chances that all of them are random events? They're not random. They're all connected. They're all very interconnected. They're very interconnected.
And to go back to the illegal migrant issue, it's very yeah. funny. If people remember going back to the World Economic Forum video that was released back in 2016, I believe, where they said, you know, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. The world in 2030, yes. you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. One of the issues was you're going to have to be more welcoming to refugees. You're going to be more welcoming to migrants. So they had this plan that shows the evidence is there. Like, you'd have to be blind not to see it. The evidence is there that they've had this plan all along, that they were going to infiltrate all these Western countries, Western Europe, Canada, United States, with illegal migrants from foreign countries, whether it's caused by the global alarmism, sorry, the climate alarmism of you know, oh, because, you know, countries like India are going to be flooded and you're going to have these refugees coming in from other countries. Whether it's that, whether it's
people, what do you think is the main reason? Like, why? What's the incentive for all these? No. Okay, so why would you?
Easy.
Like, for example, BlackRock came out today.
Yeah.
And BlackRock said that Canada needs 100 million. Like, we're at 40 million.
Yeah.
They said Canada needs to be 100 million to survive, like, financially. Okay?
Yeah. So if BlackRock tells you something, you know it's the opposite.
I know. So it's
It's easy. How do you?
No. But what's the incentive? Okay. For example, like, we live in this Western world, and what differentiates a Western world from, let's say, Africa or Asia or some Arab nations or India, is that you have a lesser amount of population and you have access to more facilities. Your standard of living is based on what you receive in healthcare, your transit system, okay. your jobs, like, okay. whatever. If you flood a system and you make it the same, like, you want to bring in, like, you know, 30 million people.
But it's poor management. Hold on a second.
No, but if you bring
in
all
hold
this.
Hold on, it's poor management. Look at the Arab nations. They're shitholes. It's poor management. Look at Africa.
No, but why?
Look at Africa.
I would say Africa. I say Arab nations are great. Like, look at Dubai. Like, the amount
but
of progress.
Dubai, because they wanted
even
to be
Saudis.
Dubai wanted to be a Western nation.
Yeah, but they're doing
Africa the same thing.
But India, they haven't opened immigration.
India,
like, I don't see Dubai opening immigration. I don't see Saudi Arabia.
With all respect to India, until Modi, okay, when you had the Congress party, it was all corruption. It was poorly managed. These were poorly managed countries all along.
Right.
Look at Africa. I mean, look at the difference between South Africa, God forbid, during apartheid. Look at what South Africa is now. It's a hellhole. It's a high crime nation. These are poorly, poorly, poorly managed with high corruption. Look at Nigeria. Look at all these places.
Yeah, so that's...
Right. So you can't compare. You can't compare. It's not even a population thing. It's just no basic rule of law.
Right.
And corruption is rampant.
No, but I understand that. But what I'm saying is, what's the incentive for, let's say, if you are a leader of one of these countries, the Western world, what is the reason that you would want to destroy your own country by overflooding it?
Because you...
And when you don't have the good management in place.
Okay, so...
Like, for example, we have, like, a housing crisis now.
Yes.
In Canada.
Yes.
We got a housing crisis in States.
Yes.
There is sanctuary cities where...
Yes.
The mayors are now going out and saying, please welcome them. If you have a room in your house, you should take some migrants or immigrants, like, you know. But
what's worse about sanctuary cities is where these illegal migrants create crime and murder, and then they're let go.
But my thing is, they have actually destroyed the facilities, because now all of a sudden...
But that's the goal.
Like, you have taken... Like, there was this place where they had all these poor black kids who were going out, and there was a community center in Boston or somewhere, and now it's taken over by migrants.
By migrants, correct.
So these
and
families,
schools, too.
These families have nowhere to go now.
Correct.
So
that's the goal. The goal is not to lift people to the highest level. The goal is to bring people to the lowest common denominator. And if you take Canada, which now has suddenly a population of 40 million people, and you bring up to 100 million people with new migrants, with new people that don't understand the history of Canada, don't understand the Charter of Rights, don't understand the Bill of Rights, don't understand understand the basic laws, then it's very easy. You give them citizenship and you hold on, you give them citizenship and you want to change the laws and say, you know what, let's get rid of the charter. The charter is not good. Let's get rid of it. Let's topple these statues. People that have just come here for 5 years that don't know Canadian history are going to say, yeah, that's right. These are oppressors. We want to get them down and the government's going to give us money. Or, hey, why don't we take rid of all your rights, take rid of all your property, and we're going to give you $2,000 a month, universal basic income. And people can say, oh, I get $2,000 and I can smoke marijuana and I can stay home and not work. Wonderful. So all of a sudden you get 100 million people, you got 20, 30 million Canadians that will say, hell no, we want our freedom and our liberty and our capitalist system. But you get 70 million people or 50 million people, new migrants that all of a sudden became Canadian citizens who can outvote native people.
That's true.
And that's the goal.
So that
it's the communist takeover. It's the KGB system. So that's where
I come up with, when Trudeau got elected, the first thing he said in 2015 was that Canada would be the first post-national.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, what does he actually mean? Yeah. But now it makes sense.
Well, remember what his logo, what is apart from Team Trudeau, his logo in 2015 was Team Trudeau and Real Change. His logo was Real Change. Well, he bloody well gave us Real Change up our ass that we didn't even realize it's going to be this kind of real change. Yeah. We thought it was going to be for the better because he kept saying, I'm going to help the middle class. I'm going to help the middle class. The middle class is worse off now than it ever was before.
That's true. And I feel really, really sad. And this goes even for the States, like the young generation. I just feel like, you know, they are in a tough spot now because
big time.
Even with the starting salaries and everything, like,
And their home prices is lower than here.
Yeah, and the house prices are like probably maybe half than what's Toronto or something for a good city like in New Jersey or New York or somewhere. But at a point, you're like, okay, how can they even afford it? Like an average townhouse is like $1 million. Like where do you actually start making up your life? Like, you know, when you get rid of your loans and your debt and your expenses. So it's becoming tough. So people have to actually think about, like, what's the future? Like, you know, what is the future we are leaving for our kids, our grandkids? Like, you know.
But that's another part of it.
So
they don't want people to have kids anymore.
Yeah, but I know. But then they want population. So then they will bring in more people from outside because, oh, the local kids are not having, the local population is going down. So let's bring in immigration because we need more population.
Right.
I mean, the point is, like, for example, even in Canada, they were saying, oh, what about the GDP? Was like GDP grew like 1%.
Yeah.
But the population grew 3%.
Yeah.
So that means if we didn't have the population, a GDP would be negative. So even with bringing people in, you're not growing your economy, right?
No.
So, but the point, why do you need people to grow your economy? And it's because you're stifling your own capitalist society. Like, you know, we are abundant in natural resources. We are abundant in oil.
Right.
We are abundant in
but
gold, nickel. But
that.
Then you're stopping.
You're
putting environmental laws in place. You're not supposed to mine. You're not supposed to get oil. You're not supposed to do nothing. So, of course, people are going to struggle. There was a job opening for a restaurant in Mississauga the other day, and there were 600 applicants. They were lined out. And these are like just waitress jobs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
But here's the thing. Immigration is a wonderful thing, and we need it in Canada because we have the second largest country in the world and a very small population. We have so much open land, but everything is so concentrated in places like Toronto and Vancouver, etc., Calgary, Montreal. The difference is it's the quality of immigration. We're not bringing in the best and the brightest.
So that's
We're
what
bringing in the lowest.
Right. So that's what used to happen 20 years ago. They would
20,
have a point
30,
system
40,
and
exactly.
you would come up with your requirement and you would say, okay, we need, based on the point system, we need so many engineers, so many nurses, and you would try to fill that quota.
Correct.
Now you're bringing in, especially in the age of AI, that's what I always think about. Like, okay, so with the AI, most of these menial jobs are going to go away. Like, you don't need people. Like, you know, you can already see it in
with
Walmart.
With robotics
robotics, automation and stuff. Now, if you're bringing in people who don't have those skills to perform.
Which they're not.
And they don't, like, even if they don't have language skills, you can't expect them to be computer programmers.
Correct.
How are you going to sustain these people? Even if you can bring in 30 million people.
That's the whole point.
How are you going to sustain them?
That's the whole point. They want to bring in, the globalists want to bring in, they want to destroy every Western country and make everything a third world nation. Then they'll start taking away everyone's constitutional rights because people will vote that away. And then eventually it's a depopulation plan. They don't want this kind of a population. They want to get rid of people. That's the whole goal.
So right. Then they just come up and they say, oh, you're not making any money. We give you $2,000 a month. You just sit at home and here's your Vision Pro so you can watch yourself and
get
watch
high
a game.
On marijuana.
Or just get some marijuana and just chill and stuff.
Yeah.
So now we come back to, like, we started off with the U.S., like what's going on with the elections.
Yeah.
So Nikki Haley not going out.
Right.
Because if Trump says, I don't want to bring immigration, that could be a cog in the... That's a block for the globalist. Okay.
Correct.
You're not trying to flood the people and you're trying to control. So that offsets their agenda.
Correct. Well, he wants to deport all the illegals.
And then he wants to deport. Whether he can do that or not, I'm not sure. But then, if for some reason he gets all the votes, let's say he gets in the caucus, he gets all the delegates.
Oh, he gets the House and the Senate. And
Not the election. Let's say before that, before November.
He gets the...
So let's say in Super Tuesday he wins and then he's got all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he gets convicted. The case starts in July and then he's convicted. Can he be pushed off the ballot by any chance?
No. Highly unlikely. No.
So then he will still remain.
He could be president. He could be inaugurated in prison. In the United States,
you're allowed to. Okay, so Nikki Haley just staying in is just wishing that something will happen.
Yeah,
and probably this guy will be like indicted or something, or like in prison, and then she can just.
Well, clearly, leftists and globalists are funding her campaign, and she's staying in with wishful thinking. Which, listen, if I were her, I would probably do the same.
But
thing.
I sense a change now because especially with Mitch McConnell being asked to leave, and
that was a big sign.
That was a big sign. But the thing is, he's not leaving.
Just prior to November.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Just prior to that. Well, he's going to milk it for all he's worth.
Yeah. That's...
The thing is, you know, there must have been some backroom dealing because if you were following it, they were saying that Mitch McConnell may all of a sudden change horses and endorse Trump. That was a few days prior. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, they're saying Mitch McConnell is going to step down. So there must have been some sort of a deal where maybe the Trump team said, we know that there's dirt on you. Here's the dirt.
Right.
And you better get lost.
Because there was some news about his wife. She's Chinese.
Yes.
And then her sister or somebody had some relation somewhere. And there was something all the time.
Oh, he's definitely been compromised.
He's been compromised.
There's no question.
But the fact that Ronna McDaniel is gone. And
that's another one.
She was like a rhino. And then she's gone. And now he's going. So that's some positive change. That should bring up their fundraising for the Republicans.
Yes.
And hopefully
things
will change.
It also shows you that the patriots in the United States are strengthening.
Are actually standing up.
Yeah.
And they're actually getting their act together. Yes.
And so that's a good sign for November. But, you know, like I've said on my first podcast, was I'm really worried that if the globalists see that Trump is...
And that's what I've been thinking all the time. Because
there might be
I think
war.
They might have an event.
They might pull a trigger.
And if you look at the way the events have gone in Europe right now with the Ukraine war, and they're pushing, like you had Macron come out and say, oh, we might send our troops in there. Oh, these are not in combat roles, but they're like in non-combat supportive roles. I mean, like, how do you differentiate? Like, you know, I mean, and
no,
God forbid,
exactly.
Like, you know, if they start getting killed in that war there, let's say, you know.
Oh,
so,
now all of a sudden France is in a war.
And now all of a sudden, now, you
now
know,
France is in a war,
now France
NATO's
is in
a
war.
War.
And then there you go. You have Polish soldiers training Ukrainian soldiers, and then they get killed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Poland is part of the whole thing. So it's just...
And then Sweden's now
And Sweden's
in,
already
into
part
NATO,
of, like, they want to get into
NATO. So they'll
NATO,
supply
so,
everything from IKEA.
So it's... who's going to fix it? I hope they have the
tools to fix the IKEA stuff.
IKEA furniture,
so I think on that note, we could probably wrap this up. Listen, I ask you to please subscribe and follow my channel, my new channel on the Awakener channel, The Insider. And, you know, we're going to be launching our website soon. We're going to be launching our Instagram. So when you see that, please follow and continue listening to The Insider.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Thank you.